This is a significant Sunday as we remember those who have lost their lives in war. And it really is a poignant and a horrific thing. Coming up on the screen is a shot from the film Dunkirk, which I saw earlier on this year. And it's one of the films that actually gives probably just a glimpse of the terror and the horror of war. Films have got much better at this in recent days, whereas in the past it used to be John Wayne striding heroically through battle after battle, never getting a scratch. Now there is a real sense that in films, war is a terrible thing. War is a bad thing. War is something where people die in horrible ways and alone. And that comes across in the film Dunkirk. And today we do remember. Today we remember those who have lost their lives in two world wars. We remember those who have lost their lives in other conflicts, both in the more distant past and more recently. We remember those whose lives have been shattered, those who have been injured physically and mentally with things that are often undiagnosed, like post-traumatic stress syndrome. And we remember the families that have been torn apart by grief and bereavement. Today, we remember. We remember those who have paid the ultimate price. We remember those who have given that ultimate sacrifice. But also, we think today about hope. And in the film Dunkirk, there is hope. And you see, as the characters go through the film, there is that glimmer of hope, that expectation, well, not quite an expectation, but it might be there that we can just perhaps get back home. Dunkirk is one of the films where you can't really give a spoiler, because I guess most people know how it turns out in the end. And that hope for many people is wonderfully realized. And it is hope that keeps people going. Sacrifice on the one hand and hope on the other. And in our reading this morning, both those things are writ large for us. There is sacrifice, particularly the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus that is highlighted for us in verse 20. And there is wonderful hope, outrageous hope, over-the-top hope. It is not just a glimmer of hope. It is a brilliant, blazing, bright hope that shines over the horizon, the sure and certain Christian hope. Our God is the one true God. Jesus is Lord, and he is supreme in all things. He is our Savior, and so there is great and wonderful hope. Hope that pushes through the darkness. Hope that burns brightly before us this morning. Number of things that we can look at together. We're going to focus on sacrifice and hope. But first of all, just to reflect together on the supremacy of Christ. Verses 15 to 20 form a wonderful hymn to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that he is preeminent and supreme. Verses 15 to 17, we see that he is supreme in creation, that there is nothing that is not made by him. And we want to perhaps ask some questions of the text. You know, is it just things in heaven? And the Apostle Paul says, no, it's the things in heaven and on earth. And we might want to say, well, is it just the visible things then? And we say, no, it is visible and invisible. He is supreme in creation. There is nothing that has been made that was not made by him, Jesus Christ, Lord of all. He is supreme in creation. There is not a split second, not a square inch that has not been made by him and for him. And so there is, again, not a split second, not a square inch over which Jesus does not cry, mine. He is rightful Lord. He's supreme not only in creation, but also in the church. In verse 18, he is the head of the church. He is the firstborn, which in this context does not mean that Jesus was created, rather that he has priority in rank, both over creation and the church. And he is supreme in salvation. All things, Jesus is Lord. He is supreme. In Renaissance times, there were two painters who were having a bit of a battle with each other. They were rivals, and one of them had painted a painting of Jesus Christ, and it was there in his studio. His rival came in one day when there weren't too many people around, and he looked at the painting in the studio, he eyed it up, he looked at it from different angles, and then he took a paintbrush and he wrote the word larger over it and walked off. The reaction of the other painter, who found that his painting was ruined, isn't recorded. But it makes the point that we need a large Jesus. We need a Jesus in our minds and in our hearts that fits with the awesome vision that we get in the scriptures. No one could write larger over Paul's pen portrait of Jesus Christ, because here we see him in his glory and his power. We see that he is preeminent and supreme in everything. And it's wonderful. Where I was before in Streatham, I would have got a number of hallelujahs at this point. Not because I'm preaching particularly well, but because Jesus is great. Thank you very much indeed. It's good to reflect on the person of Jesus Christ. And the thing that we're going to focus down on this morning is that Jesus is supreme in salvation. And so in verse 20, we read some things about the supremacy of Christ in salvation. Just follow this through with me. He is going to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And then verse 21, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. And so, writing to the Colossians, who've made a real commitment to Christ, he looks back and he says, formerly, you were alienated from God, you were enemies of him, and there was evil behavior. And that's an ugly trio of words and phrases, isn't it? That's not the way that we like to think about ourselves. But the Bible talks about our sin and our shame, and how we are, in and of ourselves, enemies of God. We've gone away from him. We are not his friends. And so we are separated from God by these things. We can imagine a great canyon. There's a picture of the Grand Canyon in America on the screen. And it's as if we are on one side and there is this huge gulf in the middle and God is on the other. And because we are enemies, because we are alienated, because of our evil behavior, we are on this side and we are stuck. And we might try all sorts of things to bridge the gap. Different philosophies, the things that we do, the good works that we engage in. We might try formal religion. We might think coming to church is the answer in and of itself. And all of those things only get us a little way across. Coming to church, well, that's a good thing. It's great to see you this morning. Good works, well, it's wonderful to engage in those and people benefit. Many philosophies, many faiths have good things about them, and we need things that are more positive in our world today. But as far as salvation is concerned, none of those things or anything else that you could think about could get you across, because we're alienated, because we still engage in evil behavior, and because we are enemies of God. But there is good news in these verses. You will have seen it already, the wonderful good news that Jesus has come and he has bridged the gap. And we might imagine the cross actually bridging the gulf between two sides of the canyon. Jesus has come and he has died for us on the cross. He has shed his blood. And we who were enemies with God, well, we can now be at peace with God. Enemies before, at peace now. And we can perhaps imagine walking across. God has reached across to us. We think of the arms of Jesus spread wide on the cross, bridging the gap for us. And by his blood, by the fact that he gave his life, we can be saved. We can be forgiven. We can be clean. We can have new life. Life now and life forevermore. This is what Jesus has done for us. And we might think here on Remembrance Day that the peace was declared as Jesus died on the cross. The treaty was written in the blood that he shed. Peace has been declared. And it's wonderful, but of course we need to receive it. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 4 talks about the faith that we are called to have in Jesus Christ. And the encouragement is, if you have not done this, to reach out to him and to receive his salvation today. One of the things that's on my heart for us as a community and for our whole church, to make sure that everyone who comes on a Sunday, that everyone who engages in worship has this nailed. Maybe you've been coming to church for a number of years even, and you've never really got this relationship sorted out. For you, it's just a little bit more about religion than it is about relationship. And I want to encourage you, don't hold back. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to trust in Jesus. Don't be afraid to know his peace in your heart. Alienated, enemies, evil behavior, but Jesus has come and he has made peace, and you can have a right relationship with God through him. It's wonderful, wonderful good news, and we need to take that step. Coming up on the screen is a picture of a Japanese gentleman. This guy was a soldier in the Second World War, and he fought on after the war was over, Hiro Onoda. And what happened was that he was on an island which is in the Philippines. The American troops sort of overrun around it, but didn't actually take this island fully. And he refused to recognize that there had been a surrender, and he stayed. And he resisted attempts to get him off the island. And only incredibly, in 1974, did someone come and persuade him, the war is over, we're now at peace, you can move on. Don't be stuck. Don't be stuck alienated with God. Don't be stuck as an enemy with God. Don't be stuck in evil behavior and the consequences of that. Peace has been declared. Jesus has done it. He has died and risen again for you. And so you can know salvation and peace in your heart. It's a word perhaps to outsiders to come in and just embrace this fully. But there are words here for those of us who are insiders too. Those who know Jesus and would say, yes, yes, we love Jesus. And I just want to encourage you today to rejoice at these things and to live in the light of them. That's the point. We know these things. We have our stories of how we have come to faith in Jesus, and yet our hearts grow cold and we just struggle. But as we see this, my prayer is that by the Holy Spirit, God will warm us up and encourage our hearts and show us how wonderful this is. If this is really true, and I believe with all of my heart that it is, what is there in the whole world to compare to this? We were enemies of God, but now we are his friends. We did get stuck in evil behavior, but now we have forgiveness for that and the strength and the power by the Holy Spirit to begin to live different lives. We have a relationship with God. We have something that is so wonderful, so brilliant, so precious. God has given it to us. Live in the light of that. Spend time with God. Spend time in prayer. Grow in worship. Warm up more and more to God. And also, be servants of the gospel. You see where that comes in verse 23, Paul is speaking, and he said, "Of this gospel, I, Paul, have become a servant." And there is just this sense right throughout the letter to the Colossians that Paul, who is in prison, Paul, who had every right to be miserable and fed up and down in the mouth, is full of joy, even in this situation, because he knows God, because he knows the gospel, and he knows the glory and wonder of Christian service. He knows, he recognizes that God has saved him and has given him a plan and a purpose for his life. He's not just been saved to sit on his hands, he's been saved to serve, and he is called to be an apostle, someone who goes out and heralds, announces, declares the good news of Jesus. We may not have exactly the same calling as the Apostle Paul, but we do have a calling to give ourselves to God and to serve him with the gifts that we have and the opportunities that we have. And again, another thing that's on my heart for this first phase of ministry is again to make sure that as a community and as a church, we have this nailed. The illustration that I've used a few times, that of Gypsy Smith, the 19th century evangelist, who drew a circle around himself, knelt down in prayer, and said he wasn't going to get up from that place of kneeling, until God had revived everything in that circle. He drew a circle and he took a stand. And here we see the Apostle Paul, in a sense, doing the same thing. Drawing a circle, taking a stand, and saying, "As for me, I am a servant of the gospel." The most moving war film that I have seen is one that is based on a true story, Schindler's List, based on the book by Thomas Keneally, Schindler's Ark, where he tells the story of Otto Schindler, a German businessman who through his factory saved a large number, a significant number of Jewish men and women who otherwise would have gone to the concentration camps and been caught up in the Nazi Holocaust. Very moving, very powerful film, very difficult film to watch. One of the things that is based on reality and is in the film and in the book is Schindler at one point saying to his Jewish friends, I could have done more. I could have given more. I held stuff back. And he's there and he's in distress and they're trying to comfort him and they're trying to help him. But he says, if only I could have done more. And what we don't want as Christian men and women who are going to spend an eternity with our Lord, if we believe that, if we know that in our hearts, we don't want to hold back. We need to be all in. We need to draw a circle. We, in a sense, need to make our own sacrifice, a much more minor sacrifice than the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us, where the one has died for the many. But the sacrifice of our own lives, the offering of our own lives, given back to God for him to use. We want to offer him our community here at Headingley Sunday morning. We want to offer him our whole church and say, Lord, we are ready. We want to offer him our own lives, our own gifts, our own talents, our own passions and opportunities and say, Lord, take us and use us. We want to be servants. We want to be ministers of your good news. From this day forward, in response to what Jesus has done, we want to draw a circle and we want to take a stand with hope in our hearts and the power of the Holy Spirit that God gives us. We want to say, Lord, take us and use us. Today we remember, but today also we look forward with hope. Who knows what God is going to do here in this place in the days that lie ahead. He is with us as we step out in faith together as servants of God and the gospel. Let's pause for a moment. And I want to lead us in prayer. I want to lead us in a prayer of reflection. This has been wonderfully done for us already. But just remembering again those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. And also praying through the themes of our reading this morning. Let's pause together. Lord, we want to give you thanks for those who have given their lives in time of war, and those who continue to pay a heavy price. Lord, we do pray for peace in our world. But Lord, we thank you for those who have given our lives so that we can enjoy a real measure of peace and a real measure of freedom. We think of the words of former Prime Minister Winston Churchill, "Never has so much been owed by so many to so few." Lord, we thank you also today for the sacrifice of your Son, the Lord Jesus, who made peace through his blood shed on the cross, the one who is supreme in all things, the Lord of creation, the Lord of the cosmos, the Lord of the universe, who came and died in our place, in pain and loneliness and isolation, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Unable even to flick a fly away from his nose. Lord, we praise you for the sacrifice that you made and for what it means for us. And we pray that you would strengthen us, that we might be servants of the good news. Help us to believe. Help us to believe deeply and to embrace all that you have for us as Christian people. For your church, for this mission community, and for ourselves as individuals, we pray that now you would help us to give ourselves as servants of the gospel. Show us what this means for us. And pour your grace and your spirit into our hearts. Encourage our hearts in these days. So, Lord, we lift our prayers to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.